This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, as always, presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We're going to get back into the NFL coming up at 8:20. Ben Valin, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, will join us. We'll talk New England. We will talk about some of these matchups this weekend. Mm-hmm. Three rematches, Jason Bishop, including your Niners against the Packers. Now, that was an early season matchup.
Yep, I know. And I talked about the weather in Green Bay on Saturday night. It's going to be the high is going to be 21 degrees. The low is going to be -1. That's just the temperatures. The wind chill is going to be even colder.
I saw this clip.
It's going to be brutally cold, just like it was in Buffalo last weekend.
I saw this clip online, and it was just a two-second highlight, but it was Mac Jones next to his offense coordinator, Josh McDaniels, and the clip pointed it out, and at least in this two-second clip, it seemed true. It said, Mac Jones is more fascinated in looking at his breath. You know, he could see his breath in the cold.
All right.
Than looking at the Microsoft Surface and what Josh McDaniels was doing next to him.
He knew they were getting boat raced. He knew there was no way out of that game. He knew that defense was not stopping the Bills.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Mac Jones not used to the cold, right?
No. That's what I said last week. I said it would definitely affect
been in
him.
New England all season long.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't that cold.
Yeah.
And he only had a few games.
So we'll get into that
really
coming up at 8:20.
Real quick before you get to the EP. I just saw this. I'm sure you guys already saw it on Twitter, but did you hear about the college student who got his own flight from England to Orlando on British Airways?
I did not.
So he's a soccer player at Rollins College, which is, I believe, in Orlando.
Okay.
Or somewhere close to that. And he's a Brit, and he was over there for the holidays, seeing the family. He got onto the British Airways flight. It was a 747, and he was the only guy on the flight.
That would never happen originating from the U.S. to somewhere else.
Oh, no, no.
Every flight is
Well, packed. I don't even know how that happens coming from England to the U.S.
Wouldn't they just cancel the flight?
Obviously not.
It makes zero financial sense to fly a bird from London to Orlando with the crew and one passenger.
Unless they had to get the flight over to the States to get a full flight coming back to Europe.
That makes sense, I guess.
But isn't that unbelievable? He gets on the plane. He's the only guy at the gate. And he's going, where is everybody? And he's the only guy, and then they close the jet walk, and he goes, all right, you're the only – the flight attendants say, you're the only passenger today. You can sit wherever you want on a 747. I don't know how long that flight is,
seven, 8 hours. Where was he flying to, Orlando?
Yeah.
Heading to Disney World?
Yeah.
Isn't that
or
incredible?
Or to Tree Rollins College?
Right. Yes.
I saw another wacky story out of Florida. I think this was the Cocoa Beach area.
Okay.
And it was about an 18-year-old guy – who had this is a mentally disturbed guy, clearly, who had a wackadoo plan of murdering a runner. He had a Ryan Mallet, and he had some sort of aerosol spray. And he saw this runner go by his house 6 straight weeks. So every day this guy goes by for 6 weeks. So he was planning this for six weeks.
He's plotting.
Plotting. And his plan was to knock him over the head with the mallet, spray his eyes so he loses his vision, drag him into his house, kill him, and then put him in his closet and use him for sex.
Oh.
But the runner.
Use him for sex while he's still alive or like,
dead.
That is the worst story I've heard.
Look up the story.
In a year.
But the guy had a martial
Dahmer.
Arts experience. The runner.
Oh, good. Then he pummeled him. Hopefully he pummeled him.
So he fought him off.
Yeah, fought him off.
Oh, good.
And so the 18-year-old was arrested for attempted murder.
See you later, mate.
Good for the Chris Farley of Florida.
He sounds like he's as mentally disturbed as the Cleveland Brown who attacked the cop.
I mean, butt naked, right?
That's a horrifying story.
I know.
He walked into like a daycare.
Yeah, and he's naked, and of course the cops come, and he charged one of the cops and beat him down. And
right.
Apparently the cop has significant...
He got tased, right?
Well, eventually, but the cop that he attacked has significant damage to his right eye. It could be permanent. So, I mean, this guy's got to go bye-bye.
Maybe he's swinging his junk around since he was naked. Who knows?
I don't know how the Browns haven't already cut him.
That's Malik McDowell, the Seahawks draft pick, who had a traumatic brain injury when he wrecked his ATV.
And he was still... Oh, well, there you go.
That makes all the sense in the world then.
Yeah, well, he'll probably never play in the NFL again.
Doesn't sound like it.
All right, let's open up Cakes' entertainment page here on The Fan. Cakes seemed surprised that we were going to
I knew it was coming. Come on. All right. This is more proof. What's on this page right here? It's more proof that we are in the wrong segment of the entertainment industry. I'm just going to give you the top five YouTube earners for the year 2021, the year of our Lord, 2021.
YouTube earners.
All right.
Coming in at number five, Unspeakable, whoever that is, made $38.5 million. Rhett and Link, whoever they are, made $30 million. Coming in at number three, Markiplier. Has anybody ever heard of them? Drab, while you're wasting all your time, do you follow Markiplier on YouTube? If you do,
I do not.
You would know that he or she made $38 million last year. And your top two earners on YouTube, Jake Paul came in at $45 million.
Wow.
And your number one YouTube earner for the year 2021, Mr. Beast, $54 million.
And why
that's the guy that goes into Sup Dogs a lot and gives big tips.
Well, now you realize why he's leaving like 10 grand on the table at Sup Dogs, because he laughs at 10 grand.
He has 25.
He points at it and laughs.
He has 25.3 million subscribers.
So again, much like we're in the wrong DJ segment.
No, my bad. I now see 88.4 million subscribers.
Okay, 88 million subscribers. Mm. We're in the wrong end of the DJ segment, and we're also not in the YouTube space. We're just missing out.
I think we are in the YouTube space, Cakes.
Well, Mr. Beast.
Well, we're not in this YouTube space.
What does he do? Why is he so popular?
He just does fun videos. He's a likable guy.
I think he did his own version of Squid Game.
Oh, did
he did. That's what I was going to say. It was a masterpiece.
Like, he paid like $3 million or more, I want to say, to replicate the Squid Game sets and the games that they played on Squid Game.
It was. If you guys watch it, it was really, really good.
Was it really?
Yeah. If you've watched Squid Game and watched his reenactment of it, he had all these donks. He gave the winner $450,000.
Wow. Well, obviously, he's popular. I'm sure my daughters know who he is. I told you I was watching that Hype House TV show on Netflix with all the TikTokers, and they're all making multi-million, and a lot of them are just losers.
Right.
They're full of themselves. And they're just losers, but they're so freaking popular, and they're living in these mansions out in California.
Right.
And they're probably making similar money.
Well, speaking of not losers, but winners, another winner is The Rock, and he was on the Manning cast a few nights ago. And of course, it was virtual. He was zooming in, whatever.
He was on the longest quarter ever, the second quarter of that game.
So everybody, when they're on their Zoom, they want to make sure their background looks good.
He's got his tequila.
He had a super flex in his background, okay? His flex was a Tyrannosaurus Rex skull, fully intact, like right over his shoulder.
I think it's valued at like $3 million.
Now, I think the world's largest T-Rex fossil was sold at auction in, I think it was 2020. Let me pull up in October of 2020. Uh-huh. A 39-foot T-Rex fossil that was nicknamed Stan after its discoverer, Stan Sackerson, who excavated the remains in 1992, was sold to an anonymous buyer at a Christie's auction for $31.8 million. Well, we know who the bidder was. It was The Rock.
Oh, so it was $31 million. I thought it was $3
million. No.
$32
million. $31.8 million.
Wow. Thanks. How much are your helmets worth?
$0. $3. You see the Nebraska helmet that I'm pointing? Let me see. There it is. I need to peel off that horrible red N and buy a Terps cursive script and turn it into a Terps helmet. I'm going to do that this week.
Can you believe that he spent $32 million on a skull?
Can I believe it? Yes. Look at The Rock's net worth.
No,
of course
I get it.
I believe it.
I can't imagine just spending $32 million on a freaking skull.
He looks at it as an investment.
It's not just the skull. It's a 39-foot full-on, like, skeleton.
Yeah.
Like he has the rest of it stashed somewhere, but he's got its head in his office.
Yeah, that's stupid money. You're right. And he was talking to the Mannings. Is that what?
Right. And Eli's like, is that a dinosaur head behind you?
Right.
Just like that. He sounded exactly like that.
I thought it was Vic Fangio. Uh-huh.
Vic Fangio wandered into his office. Big dinosaur.
By the way, The Rock gave Eli Manning the worst nickname ever. Like, he came with kind of a prepared bit. He said, you know, I'm The Rock. Peyton, you're known as the sheriff. Why doesn't Eli have a nickname? And he goes, I got one for you.
Oh, no.
HCM. And they're like, what does that mean? He goes, human carbon monoxide. You're the silent killer.
So bad. Worst nickname ever. You know what The Rock needs? Scripts. Writers. Okay, he needs that desperately. That is an underutilized clip. Is that De Niro?
That's De Niro in Cape Fear.
That's a great clip.
He's in the movie theater.
We should play that clip at a minimum once per show. Minimum, maybe once per week. Now surpassed.
I think that
quota.
Was Rom when Big John's first jokes bombed at the P1 party. Now,
I will say, I will give Big John credit. He was bombing early, but he recovered. He got some yucks toward the middle and the end. But the early returns were no bueno. All right, so The Rock spends $32 million on a T-Rex fossil. That's nothing compared to what Microsoft, this is for all you gamer nerds out there, for what Microsoft paid for Activision Blizzard. Do you know how much the deal was for, Jason, for the maker of games like Call of Duty, Warcraft, and Overwatch?
Oh, my God.
What did Microsoft dip into their pockets to buy that for? Let me hear your guess.
My guess is, and I'm sure I'm way off, $500
million. $500 million.
I'll go $12 billion.
Okay. How about $68.7 billion with a B?
I told you I'd be way off.
Your way. If Microsoft could have gotten all of those properties for half a billion, it would have been the business deal of the century. But
I've never played COD. Have you, Cakes?
I used to play Call of Duty with my oldest son when he was younger, obviously, and I would pair up with him on a team, and I would just get sniped relentlessly by 12-year-olds with much better hand-eye coordination. Because at that point, I was probably I don't know, 40, early 40s, playing. And how can my hand-eye keep up with like a 15-year-old from Stuttgart, Germany, who's playing on the headset?
It also includes Candy Crush, too, by the way. You're sleeping on that.
Oh, I did sleep on
People
Candy
still
Crush.
Play Candy Crush?
Now, these is probably on level 890 on Candy Crush. He might be into the thousands by
Speaking
now.
Speaking of time waster, I thought you're Mr. Efficient.
I'm super efficient. I don't waste my time.
I don't waste my time.
He's productive.
I'm stimulating my brain.
Yeah, there you go. The same thing when I'm playing spades online.
Coming up next, we shift back to the NFL. Ben Vallin covers the New England Patriots, among other teams. Senior NFL writer for Boston Globe. He'll join us next here on The Fan.
T T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on your TV. Join us right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Ben Valin, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe. How did New England react to the devastating loss this weekend, Ben?
It's been a strange reaction, guys, to be honest, because half of it is, well, we went 10-7, 10-8 with a rookie quarterback, so all is well. And those are the people I don't fully understand, because that was a disastrous ending to the season for the Patriots. Not only the playoff loss, but to go into December as the number one seed and to go 1-3, you know, fall to a wild card spot, and then get blown out in the playoffs. And so you have a lot of people saying, what's the direction of this team right now? You know, is it all the fault of Belichick and his coaching staff and the fact that his kid is the defensive coordinator? You know, where's the accountability there? Where's the help from Mac Jones? What happened to the defense? These guys got so old and slow. So I think half the fan base is, I think, rightfully panicking, and half the fan base is like, well, we got a rookie quarterback and we did okay. They exceeded our expectations, so all is well. I do think Mac Jones had a promising rookie season, but I think we also saw some of his limitations, too. I mean, the Bills jumped all over them 27-3 the other night before halftime, and the Patriots had no answer, and it was like that all December. Just they didn't start even playing offense until they were down 17-0. It was, at least they got back to the playoffs. You know, they were respectable. They had a nice 7-game win streak in the middle of the season, but all that looked like a mirage. And I think this team, if anything, is still very far away from being able to compete for a Super Bowl.
Ben, you touched on Mac Jones, and pretty respectable numbers for a rookie thrown into the fire there. He was 13th in yards. He was tied for 14th in touchdown throws. He had 13 picks, not an outrageous number for a rookie. But my question is kind of what you touched on is, What's his ceiling? Like, his floor seems pretty high, but is there much more ceiling over top of the rookie numbers that we saw? Maybe there is if you add some more pieces.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he's looking like a quarterback who you're going to have to surround him with elite weapons, because, unfortunately, he just doesn't have the physical traits to kind of make plays himself. You look at the quarterbacks that are still, you know, alive in the playoffs. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, you know, guys who can throw the ball on a rope, and guys who can move and can make plays with their feet and can improvise and are just game changers. And that's not Mac Jones. At least he hasn't shown that yet. I don't want to sound too down on him, but like, what was Mac Jones' signature play this year? You know, he didn't have like many crazy highlights. He was an efficient quarterback, found the right receiver. Somehow the Patriots were 6th in scoring. I don't quite understand that. They were 15th in yards, and I think that's more appropriate. But somehow they were 6th in scoring. I think the one piece they badly need is a slot receiver. They didn't have the Edelman, Welker, Troy Brown kind of guy for Mac Jones this year, who on 3rd and 6 can get open in a short space and convert that first down every time. So they need to get him probably a little bit of an upgrade at left tackle and then a new slot receiver. But, like, they spent all this money in free agency last year, and the offense still didn't have much punch. And Mac is unfortunately a little bit of a limited quarterback, doesn't have elite arm strength and isn't a real, you know, plus athlete. So he is looking like, you know, maybe he becomes Tom Brady and he's just surgical in the pocket and can dissect everyone. Or maybe he's more like Andy Dalton, who also took a team to the playoffs his rookie year, but that's about what his ceiling was. And so that's kind of the big question now for Mac Jones.
All right, so on the other side, the Buffalo Bills are really good. So the Bills take on the Chiefs this week. They beat them earlier this season, 38-20. How do you see that game playing out?
I think I'm taking the Bills again. Maybe it's my recency bias. And, you know, one thing does cause me some pause. If you look at the Bills' final stretch, you know, of the season, they really only played well against the Patriots. They had two dominant games against the Patriots, and they won their other games, but they struggled at home against the Falcons, and I think Josh Allen threw three picks that day, and they struggled to put the Bills away. So they've really only played well against the Patriots. Like, maybe they just have New England's number. That said, I love Josh Allen. I really like the team that the Bills have built over these last 4 years under Sean McDermott. And something about Kansas City, they just don't seem like the same team this year. I know they poured it on with Pittsburgh the other day, and I know that they've always kind of been a slow-starting team, but they just, I don't think they can afford to, you know, fall down 14-0 to the Bills, kind of like what, you know, like they can't afford to fall asleep until the middle of the second quarter against this Bills team. So, I don't know. Maybe this isn't the most scientific rationale, but I just feel like the Bills are a little bit of a team of destiny this year, and so I'm taking them. You know, they're the ones with the chip on their shoulder. They want revenge from last year's AFC Championship game. So I think Josh Allen, this is his time. I see him going into Kansas City and pulling off the win.
So Brian Daboll's the OC there. He was starting to get some head coach sniffs last season. Those are going up this season, obviously, with all the openings. Where do you think he winds up? And is there going to be a hiccup for Josh Allen in his development if Daboll is no longer his OC?
I don't have a great, you know, Daboll's in there for Chicago and the Giants and the Dolphins, and so I don't necessarily, like, have one choice over the other. I don't have great intel on where he would be the best fit. Any team looking for an offensive coach to groom a quarterback, to me, he's the guy. You look at what he's done with Josh Allen, phenomenal. Look, Allen is, I think, kind of an athletic unicorn with his arm strength and his size and his running ability. But he needed to be reined in and corralled. And what Daboll has done with Allen, you know, from year one to now to year three and four is remarkable. We've never seen a quarterback improve his completion percentage the way Josh Allen does. And I think Brian Daboll just deserves all kinds of credit. Twice this year, the last two times they faced the Patriots, they never punted. The Bills drove into the red zone on every single possession and scored almost every time. So he's just, I think, a terrific play caller. And if I were him, I would avoid the Bears because that place is a black hole. And the Dolphins, I would be very wary because they seem to fire their coach every 2 years. So to me, I would go for the Giants, even though they've been a mess as well. They still seem to be the most stable organization. And I know they had a second interview with an assistant GM from the Bills also, Joe Shane, yesterday. So maybe the Giants kind of raid the Bills front office and head coaching staff there.
Ben, could you see Brian Flores going to the Giants, and then that entices Deshaun Watson to really want to play for them? And then maybe the Giants trade their two first rounders and another one. But and that we have no idea if Deshaun will be suspended by next year. But that seems like that could be a fit.
Definitely could be a fit. You have to be wary if you're the Giants of. You know, obviously, Watson comes with some baggage, and I'm not sure if the Giants are going to want to sign up for that kind of rodeo with Deshaun Watson. And the buzz has been Flores with his reconnecting with his old buddy Nick Caserio in Houston. You know, we'll see there. There's all kinds of rumors flying right now, and it's hard to parse what's real and what's just agent spin. But I do think Flores is going to be a top candidate. I think he got a raw deal in Miami. He went 19-14 the last 2 years with a quarterback he didn't even want. And, he definitely had the Patriots number. And you give him a real quarterback, I think he would have done some really good things with the Dolphins. Given his success there, his youth, his energy, just kind of everything that he's built the last few years, I think Brian Flores is going to get one of these jobs, whether it's the Bears, Giants, Dolphins. I mean, it seems like all these guys are in the running for the same jobs, but he deserves a job. He was a terrific coach, and the Dolphins are going to regret, I think, firing him.
So we're talking to Ben Vilen, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe. You mentioned quarterbacks. This can all change, we know, but just your predictions right now, January 19th, real quick, on Russ, Aaron Rodgers, maybe even we'll throw in Justin Fields because a rumor that maybe they would trade him. Are these guys all staying? They're moving? What are your predictions right now?
Great question. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to stay. I think that situation is getting has gotten resolved, and he made some comments a few weeks ago where he talked about how he and the GM have kind of reached a middle ground and are in a much better place. You know, that was the source of a lot of the confrontation last offseason, and I just think he wants the Packers to commit to him, and they're about to, you know, he's about to win MVP for a second time, and there's probably, you know, the favorites to reach the Super Bowl again. So there's no need to turn the team over to Jordan Love. So I think Rodgers, you know, is going to get a new contract. The Packers are going to commit to him for a couple more years. And so I think he's going to stay. I don't think Fields is going to go. I know, you know, he lost when you fire the GM and the coach, he no longer necessarily has that support in the building, but I think they're going to give him another chance there, especially because he's so cheap and he did some good things this year. He's a really good athlete, and it's hard to evaluate him when the Bears were such a mess this year. So I think the Bears stick with him, and I don't know. I think Russell Wilson's going to go. I don't think he wants to be in Seattle anymore. The Giants, I think, make a lot of sense. I could see Russell Wilson being someone that the Giants try to get. Maybe Houston tries a Deshaun Watson for Russell Wilson kind of swap. You know, let's get nuts here. But I do think Russell Wilson wants out, and he probably wants to meet a bigger market. The real guy, I can't wait to see what happens to Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the 49ers feel so stupid for, you know, trading so much to get this other guy when Jimmy's perfectly fine and now has them in the divisional round again. But they invested so much in Trey Lance. How can they? It would be kind of egg on their face if they didn't hand the team over to him next year. So does Garoppolo maybe go to the Saints and connect with Sean Payton? Like, I'm very interested. Maybe the Panthers, maybe Washington. I think that could be a good spot. So to me, Jimmy G, I'm very fascinated to see what happens to him this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, when they played in the regular season this year, he played really well. He had that last drive late in the game where he threw the touchdown to, I think it was Kyle Juszczyk. But he... you know, they're up one, and then, of course, Aaron Rodgers, they had too much time, and he gets them into field goal territory. I agree with you. Now, I don't think Jimmy G is going to beat Green Bay in Green Bay. The weather's going to be atrocious again. It's going to be snowing and wind chills in the -5 to -7 range. I mean, I think it's going to be brutal. But what if he does beat Green Bay? You know, what does Kyle Shanahan do now if he's in the NFC Championship again in just two of the last 3 years? And I don't know what he can do. I mean, I guess he's, like you said, he invested so much. But I could see him sticking with him for one more year and letting Trey Lance learn a little bit more for another season. But you might be right. He might be forced to trade him based on what he gave up for him.
Yeah, I could see if Jimmy wins this game, and I want to take the Niners in this one. The weather might be the only thing, and also that fourth quarter pick he threw last week. Maybe.
I know.
Him and Shanahan are just so tight in the fourth quarter. It's unbelievable. They really tried to blow that game. Excuse me.
They did everything in their power to give that game away, yes.
Oh, my God. Kyle Shanahan. It's like, you know, he was the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, obviously 28-3, and then they blew the 10-point lead in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So Shanahan needs to get that monkey off his back. But anyway, I want to pick the Niners. The weather could be atrocious, but yeah, I guess if they do pull off the upset, Shanahan's kind of backed into a corner at that point. And how do you move on from Garoppolo again? And Trey Lance is under your control for 4 or 5 years, so you can sit him a second year, but talk about overpaying. Like, what if they had just used their first-round pick last year on a player, and then they'd still have their next two first-round picks? You know, even in a best-case scenario, they can't really build around Trey Lance now. So I understand that Garoppolo had injury concerns, but all you had to do was take Kellen Mond or Davis Mills in the third round to protect yourself. I just think the Niners way over-panicked and really should have, you know, not made this Trey Lance move.
Do you give Stafford any chance in Tampa? I certainly do.
Yeah, I give him a chance, but I do like the Bucs in this one. I don't love the way the Rams are playing right now. Even though they won some games down the stretch, you know, they really struggled to beat a bad Baltimore team. They lost to the Niners there in week 18.
Yep.
blew a 17-3 lead. And then even the big blowout win against the Cardinals, that was more about Kyler Murray just like throwing up all over his shoes than it was necessarily the Rams offense, where there were a lot of punts in that game and it wasn't the most efficient offensive performance. So I call me biased, but I'm not betting against Tom Brady in the playoffs. The Bucs are not operating, on 100% either. They're still bringing guys back and figuring things out on both sides of the ball, but I still like the way they're playing better than the Rams are right now, and so I see the Brady and the Bucs being able to advance to the NFC Championship game.
All right, Ben, appreciate the time as always. Thanks, pal.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Yep.
Thanks,
Ben Belin from the Boston Globe. We're going to talk a little NBA a little bit later at 9 o'clock. Tim Doyle from CBS Sports joins us here on the Junkies. Hey, Jason, this is I was just getting a vibe. You're so adamant kind of that Green Bay is going to beat San Francisco. Are you doing kind of the emotional hedge?
A little bit.
I could feel it. It just dawned on me. This is why he's so like talking about the weather and this and that. And yeah, I mean, Green Bay is the one seed. I get it. They're the favorite. In fact, they're the biggest favorite of the four games.
Yeah.
But I can kind of tell like deep down. You're grasping.
Oh, believe me, I am. I put $400 in my FanDuel account to win $157 just on Green Bay to win. So I'm doing a pretty – that's an emotional hedge play. I get
substantial.
It. Substantial. But, look, if Jimmy G had played a lot better last week because he just made some boneheaded mistakes in the fourth quarter, I thought he played pretty well. I'd give him like a B-minus, but, man, that pick was awful.
He also missed a wide-open receiver. I can't remember.
It was Ayuk. Yeah, wide open, 100%.
Like, maybe, could maybe be fair and say he threw the ball while Ayuk is breaking. He doesn't know how Ayuk's going to run it. But
yeah. I mean, who knows if that was on Jimmy or if that was on Ayuk, correct. But the pick was just terrible, which led to a touchdown for them. And if he had played a lot better, I'd say maybe give him a better chance. But I just think this is Rodgers' year. I think they're going to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and if you're Kyle Shanahan, you don't want to go into that game putting it all on Jimmy G's shoulders. You want Eli Mitchell. And
yeah, you got to have
Sam.
A balance.
You want to churn the running game. I mean, that's when the Niners are at their best.
Yeah.
You know, when they've got you off balance, you don't know if Debo's getting the ball out of the backfield or if it's Mitchell or Juszczyk gets utilized. That's how they're going to win. If they can go in and, like, put up close to 200 yards rushing –
yeah.
That's their blueprint for winning, especially in a bad weather game.
Yep.
The elements are in play. That's how they win the game.
Now, like, when they played him earlier in the year, it was all Jimmy G because they didn't run the ball that much and certainly not with a lot of success. Now, Mitchell was not in that game, and they didn't use Debo that much in the running game that day. But so when they lost to them in the regular season, now the weather obviously wasn't a factor because it was in San Francisco, but
right. It
was Jimmy G. He was the reason. He threw 40 times in that game. I just think this is Rodgers' year, and I think that they're going to win fairly handily.
I could just tell you were doing the emotional hedge to know you, and it's funny. Probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago, you said, I don't really care about the Niners that much, but once they get in the playoffs, you start getting a little sized.
Well,
I get it. It's kind of the same way with my Colts fandom.
Yeah. Well, especially when we have all these debates about Jimmy G. I've just always been a Jimmy G guy.
And you're always in his corner.
I want him to play well so I can throw it back to Cakes and say, see, he's pretty damn good.
And
he's more than slightly better than Heinicke.
I'm praying he throws for like 120 yards and two or three picks.
Well, that might happen. You never know. I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch.
Cakes, no Joe Judge to beat on. Who's going to be your coach to beat up on next year?
Ooh, that's a great question. Who's in the crosshairs for me?
Because Sirianni won you over.
Yeah, I never really put Cully in the crosshairs because I just felt like he was in a bad spot. Like you could tell he was like a sacrificial lamb. He wasn't going to be there long in Houston. Sirianni made the playoffs.
The dope in Detroit was competitive. Matt Campbell. So.
Yeah, Dan Campbell.
But, sorry.
Yeah, but. Yeah, they fought and scrapped. They're just under-talented in Detroit.
Right.
I mean, he's got a short shelf life there. Like, if he makes it past year three, I'd be stunned.
You don't have a target right now.
No, there'll be somebody. Somebody will rear their head. It's just a matter of who.
Maybe if somebody hires Bill O'Brien.
Oh, I know who it is. It's McCarthy. It's McCarthy in Dallas. Big dope.
Oh, yeah.
Big dumb dope.
What was the rumor about McCarthy after that game that Jones going to fire him and bring in Kellen Moore? I saw that.
Yeah, just because Kellen gets a lot of head coaching interviews.
I mean, what am I supposed to say?
I mean, that's your fearless leader. God, he's so bad.
Hey, I don't understand.
So bad.
Why is it taking so long for teams to hire coaches this year? Ron Rivera, now granted, there was an extra game.
Yeah.
Ron Rivera was hired on New Year's Eve.
Was it New Year's Eve?
December 31st, wow. 2019, I believe.
I don't know. It's a good question.
So, and usually,
just because there's so many candidates, I guess each team wants to, you know, do their due diligence and interview all
the guys. Also, a bunch of GM jobs open. One of my buddies actually was offered a GM interview. Actually turned it down.
Which, for who?
I don't want to get into it.
Oh, okay. He told you not to say anything?
Probably.
He wants that kept under wraps. JP's out here blabbing about it.
I don't know. I would think that there would be some hirings this week, but maybe not. Maybe it'll be next week, early next week.
But maybe a lot of these teams want to hire their GM first, and then the GM makes the final decision on the head coach.
Well, there's not that many GM openings.
I think there's
at least
maybe
three.
Two. You got Minnesota. You got Chicago. What's the other one?
Giants.
Oh, yeah.
That just tells me that there's not like a silly coach out there that teams are dying to hire.
You need a quarterback. That's what you need. Look at the quarterbacks that are still remaining. Jimmy G is obviously the worst out of the eight.
Or Tannehill.
Yeah. I don't know. Vrabel's just.
I mean, I would want.
Vrabel's been unbelievable.
I would want to hire Dable out of Buffalo for the job that he's done with Josh Allen. Now, I understand you've got a good starting point in Josh Allen. And there's not a lot of those guys running around on NFL rosters. But I think if you're Chicago, like if you want to mold Justin Fields, mm-hmm. that would be the guy that I'd want doing it.
Yeah.
He'd be at the top of my list.
That'd be a good fit.
Forrest would be at the top of my list.
Eric Bieniemy's got to be at the top of the list.
I mean, Forrest is winning games. And look, I'm not a Tua backer, but I'm also not a Tua hater. I got to see more.
Right.
But he's clearly not a next level quarterback, and they're still winning games. Now, you didn't get him in the playoffs.
No, I mean, it sounded like Flores did get boned in Miami. But part of it was his own doing. Like, he had a bad relationship apparently with Tua and with some of the front office guys. And I guess not making the playoffs in what he's there three seasons, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
They just said, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction. But he won't be out of work for long.
And I would agree. He'll
probably be back as a head coach, not as, you know, a coordinator.
I think he'll get hired.
Yep.
But I don't know. That's a good question. I think you'll probably see a couple guys get hired maybe by this weekend. But there's so many guys. I mean, if you look at all of the guys who've already interviewed and the candidates, man, a lot of them are names that we've heard of before. I mean, the Todd Bowles of the world, but. Man, there's so many guys that are going to get interviews.
And then you have the Harbaugh factor.
Yeah.
If he leaves. I mean,
if I'm him, I'm splitting as quickly as I can. I'm going to get that big fat offer probably from the Raiders. They're going to be the ones most likely to make a splashy deal. And I know I've maxed out at Michigan. I'm just not beating the Alabamas and Georgias of the world. Just not. Like, I've gotten as high as I can go. I'm going to go back to the pros.
Cakes, before you go all in on Dable, have you done any research on his public speaking ability? Because that's always when you turn on the coaches, the press conference.
And he looks
that's
like
true.
He's a kind of a big, burly guy.
He might be a donk, Cakes.
He has potential for donkness.
Although
there's
I think
no
he went
doubt
to
about it.
Mary, kind of a smart guy. Hmm. Maybe let me check again.
Again, wasn't Sirianni like a boy genius?
Matt Patricia was a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Well, you know what he wasn't?
That's right.
An NFL head coach scientist.
Yeah, not a good one.
He can know all about shooting off rockets.
Actually, college was Rochester. He's Canadian, by the way, Brian Dable.
Okay.
Was a volunteer assistant, was his first coaching job at William & Mary.
Yeah, I've never heard that person utter one word. I've never heard him speak. I don't know what he sounds like. How would I know what Brian Dable
sounds like?
Because
he's in the bald club.
He is a bald. He's a fellow baldy. Yes, that's correct.
He kind of, you know, if he lost a little weight, he could pass for Cakes.
Precise. Hopefully, he has to lose a lot of weight because he's a bit of a fatty.
He's a big dude.
But think about this. These are some of. He is kind of a fatty.
It's okay though, man. He's probably working 20-hour days.
These are the names that you're hearing for interviews or guys who've already interviewed. Todd Bowles, Caldwell, Daboll, Brian Flores, Leslie Frazier, Nate Hackett, Leftwich, Doug Peterson, Dan Quinn. All right? I think those are guys who've already gotten interviewed.
I'm so not sized for Dan Quinn if I'm an NFL team.
He's pretty good at what he does. Bienemy, Brian Callahan, Jonathan Gannon, who's the Eagles DC, Aaron Glenn, Jared Mayo, Kellen Moore, Kevin O'Connell, who was here. He's the Rams OC. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Where's O'Connell being linked to?
I thought Denver, but maybe there was a couple different names.
By the way, the NFL playoffs, they're littered with nothing but former Washington coaching staff guys. They're just everywhere.
Yeah.
Shanahan, LaFleur, McVay.
O'Connell.
Yep.
Was it Joe Brady, D.C. with the Packers?
Slept on Joe Brady. Can't believe he's being hyped up. Cakes. Bad as he was here.
You know which candidate I'm standing on the table
for? You mean
for.
Joe Barry,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, then I
Joe
then said Joe Brady.
Brady.
Who's your guy, Drab?
You know I'm a Kellen Moore stan.
We know this, yes. It's been documented.
Boy genius.
Right.
You know, we come from the same area.
Okay, yeah. Same part of the world.
Neighboring towns.
He's not from Spokane. He's from somewhere else.
He's from Prosser, Washington.
Prosser.
Prosser, Washington.
15 miles from Richland.
Okay.
You're from Richland.
I'm from Richland.
I got you.
Two great mid-Columbian athletes. Matt Cahill and Kellen Moore.
Good play call at the end of the game.
It was. At first, I actually heard it was an audible. That Dak did that
I've heard that it could have been an audible.
And it could have worked.
Could have, but just didn't. That's the problem.
Where's your ideal landing spot for Kellen Moore?
Seattle Seahawks.
Come home. Welcome home. He's coming home.
Somewhere with a quarterback, so he looks silly.
Oh, man.
Well, I don't know. There's just a ton of names out there right now. And a ton of openings.
Yeah, I got to find my new guy to pick on. I got to figure out who that is.
It might be well,
Ron Rivera.
You know what?
You know what? If Ron Rivera keeps posting losing seasons, it will be Ron Rivera.
Let's see if there's a boneheaded coaching move this weekend.
McCarthy is number one on the hit list, and there's three or four openings right behind him. I'm ready.
All right, coming up next, we'll shift gears. We'll talk a little NBA. What are the Wizards going to do in the second half? Will they trade Montrezl Harrell? Tim Doyle covers the NBA for CBS Sports. He'll join us next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.